Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Here's an offer you don't want to miss. For just $3, treat yourself to a Krispy Kreme donut, like their irresistible chocolate donut with sprinkles, and an any size hot coffee or refreshing iced tea. Just three. Whether you're fueling up for the day or just taking a sweet break, this deal is for you. Price and participation may vary. Offer valid December 10th through April 30th, 2025 at participating McDonald's while supplies last. Krispy Kreme and associated trademarks used under license. Copyright 2024 KKDC. Copyright 2024 McDonald's.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As the festive season fills our plates, how can you care for your gut while still enjoying all the indulgences? And can you distinguish cramps and pains related to Christmas excess from perhaps more serious conditions? Well, joining us to talk about all of this is consultant gastroenterologist Deirdre O'Donovan. Deirdre, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we change everything at this time of year, don't we? We're suddenly eating far more and we're eating differently than we different foods than we normally have.
Absolutely. That tradition of the really rich and sort of festive Christmas fare means that we often do change. We not only change, but we eat a lot more than we normally would. So it goes without saying that we may expect some adverse effects on your poor gut.
Yeah. Now, what happens to the gut when you're getting maybe more meat at a sitting than you normally would, more vegetables, more potatoes, more starch?
I think the challenge is you're eating a lot more protein. You're probably eating a more carbohydrate-rich meal. To be fair, while we all like a few Brussels sprouts, I think the vegetables get a bit of a raw deal over Christmas, and we probably don't eat enough of those. So you're dealing with really more slow transit through your gut. That's going to lead to constipation. That may certainly exacerbate acid reflux. And then it will have knock-on effects on your microbiome.
So you could have both acid reflux and constipation.
Absolutely. So if your gut is loaded with content, content's moving really slowly down, you'll get a signal from your colon to your stomach. Don't empty. We're full down here. Mm-hmm. And so the path of least resistance is back upwards. So acid reflux is absolutely what's going to happen.
Now, when you are, all the different contributing things, I mean, what does the meat contribute when it goes into your microbiome?
So I guess you sort of need to break it down into, the first element is that it sits in your stomach for much longer. And this is why people, if they're trying to follow a weight loss diet, will eat more protein, because your stomach emptying is
slow. So you
slowed.
Feel fuller for longer.
You feel fuller for longer. The problem is, though, we tend to pack it in over Christmas, of course. We're just over-distending our stomach. And that then gets brought into your small intestine, exposed to your microbiome, and you'll have the gut bacteria that really favour that type of diet. And those are the type of bacteria that probably will generate more gas, more bloating, more discomfort.
Okay. Now, then the contribution of the carbs?
The carbs is the same in many ways. You know, it's a really rich diet. Again, we're not helping our microbiome because we're not necessarily eating any fiber. So the carbs, very stodgy, potentially eaten on their own, pushing your blood sugar levels up quite high. So really negative effects when eaten in excess. It's all about balance. It's not that carbs are such an evil, but they just need to be balanced on the plate.
Now, the vegetables then, which of them have the fiber?
So as a general rule, I say to people, green vegetables, if you can manage the greens. And, you know, in terms of the carbs, it's the whole grains. So think about green, think about brown, and that's usually good in terms of fiber and good for the microbiome.
Now, how long does it take your microbiome to actually change if you've got a few days of this, or will it revert back fairly quickly to the norm?
Absolutely. So things will revert back. I mean, you can think over the Christmas period just to be conscious of maybe taking some foods that are rich in sort of probiotics, things like yogurts, kefir. If you're not into that sort of thing, you could pick up a probiotic like Alflex in the chemist and take that for a month or two. So it's all about understanding that it is a bit of an assault on your system over the Christmas period. Things will revert back, but it may take a couple of weeks to get things back on track.
So you mentioned yogurt there and kefir.
Yes.
What's happening there?
So there's some live bacteria in the yogurt.
And do we know they're good guys for us?
Well, what I would say to people is, you know, in general, if you are feeling well, you probably have a pretty good microbiome.
Yeah.
If you're suffering with bloating, maybe it's a little off, and trying something like the kefir might be helpful to you. And if it is, great. If you find it makes things a little worse, maybe it doesn't suit you.
Okay, now alcohol thrown into the mix, and there will be alcohol.
And there will be alcohol, of course there will. I suppose, as always, the advice has to be moderation. Please think about it. If you can try and drink a glass of water for every glass of alcohol that you take, I think that's a starting point. And just pace yourself across the Christmas period.
I was told on some programs some years ago that you shouldn't really be swigging down loads of water as you eat your meal, that you're better off with the liquids kind of separate from.
So, interestingly, your stomach will process the solids in your meal slightly separately to the liquids, and it may hold them in different places. So you can feel, if you take a lot of liquid, let's say, or a lot of water, you down a pint, it'll sit and make you feel very uncomfortable in your stomach, and may make acid reflux worse. But to drink a little bit across the day, glasses, just rather than one big volume in one go.
How much water typically, outside of the Christmas period, should we be drinking every day? And is a cup of tea as good as a glass of water?
So the first thing to say is, unless you're really, an athlete and you're playing a lot of sport, it's not that you need litres and litres of water. You really don't. We all probably need a litre and a half.
I see people going around with enormous containers of water.
Absolutely.
And they won't go anywhere without them.
They're overdoing it. So it's really just to be sensible. And one of the easiest ways, because people are often, they come in to me, they're worried about, am I dehydrated? Have a look at what you're peeing. If it's nice and clear, you're doing a good job.
And if it's slightly
dark cloudy, if we're using the alcohol sort of analogy, if it's more like a Chardonnay, so a little bit deeper, you're not drinking enough water.
How does exercise interface with all of this?
Really, really important. And I guess that's part of that piece on gut health, that it's beyond even what we're eating and what we're drinking, but it's about the whole environment, getting out for a walk even before you have your meal to encourage a little bit of peristalsis, a little bit of motility in the gut is good. Equally, a gentle walk afterwards is always good. Managing your stress levels, getting enough sleep, all of those factors are really important.
Some people feel they can't go for a walk when their tummy is full because they might have to rush to the loo and there's no loo.
Yes. So I guess be aware. I mean, if you're somebody who has a sensitive stomach, maybe a tendency towards IBS, be conscious of that. Pay attention to your triggers, particularly over the Christmas holidays. That's really important.
Why are people so different that some people can tolerate one particular food and others cannot? And I don't mean in an allergy sense, because that's a very controversial area, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, peanut allergies and so on, they are in a different and very dangerous category anyway. But, an ordinary food, and some person can tolerate it, no bother. Someone else takes a tomato and they come out in a rash.
Well, I guess the important thing to remember is your gut is a really complex organ. Not only is it involved in digestion, but it's also your second brain. It's where you process a lot of your emotional response. And for lots of reasons, your response to different types of foods can be influenced by many different things. Not only your microbiome. So it's about just being aware of that, understanding what your triggers are, and trying to recognize what they are, maybe taking those things out of your diet.
A question come in. My husband has diverticulitis before. He's fine now, but what can he do to manage a flare-up or symptoms over Christmas? What is diverticulitis?
So diverticulitis is puckering in the bowel wall. So it's like these little dimples, like what you might see on your cheek, but you have them in your bowel. And it means that the muscle function through the bowel is a little less effective. So a little bit more prone to constipation. If it gets inflamed, that's diverticulitis.
And is it painful?
Extremely painful.
And where does
extremely
the pain
painful.
Occur?
So usually people complain of pain down in the lower left-hand side of their tummies. They may find that they were a little constipated in the preceding days. And often people are a little confused, because we tend to say to people, if you've got diverticulosis, a good high fiber diet is the way to manage it. However, if you get a flare of diverticulitis, high fiber is your enemy. So you want to go easy, pull back on the fiber, maybe go to a more liquidy diet, consommés, soups over a couple of days. Just give that bowel a little bit of rest.
Now, there's a thing called heartburn, What is heartburn?
So heartburn is where you feel a burning sensation, usually behind your sternum. And some people actually will taste it up into their mouth, particularly at nighttime when they lie down, if they've had a really rich meal, for example.
And what is causing that?
So that's acid from your stomach getting released up into the esophagus where it's not meant to be. And the esophagus will respond to that and send you that signal of pain.
And is it a long pain or is it something that's fleeting?
It can be either, but often people will wake up with a searing pain in their chest, and that can go on for hours to the point where people really may think they're having a heart attack. And in fact, it's incredibly difficult to distinguish whether it is a cardiac pain or whether it is actually acid reflux.
And people who think, oh, I don't want to go to the ED, it's only indigestion, it's only heartburn, I don't want to be embarrassed and wasting the hard-working medics over Christmas, I don't want to waste their time. What do you say to them?
What I would say to them is please never be embarrassed, because it's such a serious, serious issue if it is a cardiac pain. When you go into the A&E department with a symptom like that, they'll always check your heart first. And then if they're happy the heart is okay, it may well be reflux, and that can be managed. But it's far more important to get a good and proper diagnosis.
A question, please ask again, is drinking tea the same as water?
So drinking tea is still fluids.
Yeah.
So I would say it's good. So if you're a tea drinker, absolutely drink the tea.
What about
you
coffee?
May lose a little bit as you're peeing. There's a bit of a diuretic effect, and equally with coffee. But follow what the Continentals do. Try and have a little glass of water, small glass of water with your cup of coffee. It's a lovely idea.
So if you're actually having a mild diuretic effect,
you're compensating by a little.
Can you have IBD and IBS? I have ulcerative colitis, but lately I think I also have IBS.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, having inflammatory bowel disease doesn't protect you from the very common irritable bowel syndrome. And it's really important to try and understand those symptoms for each individual.
Many people seem to be unaware that chronic heartburn can lead to esophageal cancer. More awareness needed.
That's a really, really good point. And it is. And unfortunately, the people that we often see coming in presenting with esophageal cancer are those that have just put up with heartburn for many, many years and have never sought medical attention for it. So please do, if you have any sort of prolonged GI symptoms, particularly heartburn, go to your GP and talk to them about it.
I thought I had IBS and gut issues, bloating and so on. It turned out to be stage 4 cancer.
Yes, that's unfortunately something that we do see.
So is it protracted, you know?
I think the key is if you have bloating that is persistent, it's not going up and down in response to meals, but it's staying bloated across a day, that's less likely to be your gut and you really need to be looking for other causes.
What does your doctor think of almost daily lansoprazole? I don't know how you say it.
Lansoprazole? You can practice that in front of the mirror.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that. Anyway, what is it, first of all?
So lansoprazole is an acid-lowering medication. In fact, it reduces your production of acid. And these types of drugs, what we call the PPIs, proton pump inhibitors, have been game-changing for the management of acid reflux. If your doctor has prescribed it for you, then absolutely take it and take it on a daily basis.
Keep everything at bay.
Keep things under control. The way the tablet works, it's best to be taken regularly. You can get a low dose of that over the counter. And I would advise people, if they find themselves reaching for that in the over the counter section, go and talk to your GP, because that's a chronic symptom
and you don't know what you're treating. Just to let our listeners, what's it called over the counter? It probably doesn't.
So it could be Emazole, Nexium, they're all similar.
Okay. I suppose the final thing is moderation in all things, including moderation.
That is the best advice.
Okay. Water, exercise, and just don't eat too much. Deirdre, thank you very much for joining us. That's consultant gastroenterologist Deirdre O'Donovan. Happy Christmas to you, Deirdre.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.